Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, and welcome to Amazing Grace Ministries, or Amazing Grace School of Ministry, to our Christian empowerment and counseling course. And certainly, I want to welcome my students back again. This is the last evening of class. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I know each and every one of you are saying, and I just want to say thank you to each one of you that really have committed to these 6 weeks and who have stayed the course and have completed the course. And I also want to say thank you to those that have gotten their assignments in. There's still some assignments out, but I'm workable. We're going to work with you. I'm going to work with you. And certainly going into the Christmas season, you even have that time, because I'm going to send out one more test. Again, this is the last class. This is the sixth class, and we said that this course was only going to be 6 weeks, and it has been 6 weeks, and we have talked about personality traits, personality disorders, and today we're going to wrap up this defense mechanisms. And I got some good stuff for you tonight. I want to thank each and every one of you. I will have a final test. The final test is only going to be, guess what, 5 questions. Just 5 questions. And one of those questions on this test is going to ask you to identify your favorite form of self-deception. Your favorite form to identify your favorite form of self-deception. And you're going to see as we wrap up defense mechanisms why I'm asking you that question. This is certainly aligned with the last topic we have been dealing with. Now we're going to go into defense mechanisms. And at some point, we all deal with defense mechanisms to deal with our stress and how we handle different situations that come about in our lives. I'm not going to get into the levels. We're not going to do that. I'm not even going to get into all the defense mechanisms because there are many. So we're going to get into the course, and at the end of the course, at the end of my discussion, I'm going to open up the line for any questions that you might have. And I'm going to try to get those 5 questions to you at least by Friday, so you have time, at least time enough during the Christmas break and season to get it done. And it is my endeavor, once you get me all the materials back, to get you your certificates. I don't know if we want to get together for the last time to celebrate each other, celebrate the certificates, and just hand them out and allow me to acknowledge some of the things that you've done in your work. But that is open for discussion, and certainly you can tell me, Dr. Carey, just mail them to me, and I certainly will do that. Again, I want to thank each and every one that have taken part of this course, and there will also be an evaluation form that I'm going to send out for you to evaluate the course, what you liked about it, your dislikes, and some of the things that you can see improved doing for this School of Ministry course. And again, this is the first time that we're doing it via radio, and I want to again thank you and applaud you for participating. Okay, so let's get into our topic of discussion, shall we? Defense mechanisms. We talked about defense mechanisms a great deal on last week, but we're going to review just a little bit, and I'm going to specifically identify some, or at least 9 defense mechanisms, which you'll be able to recognize and maybe look at over your life and say, I've done something like this before. So defense mechanisms are one way of looking at how people distance themselves from a full awareness of unpleasant thoughts, feelings, and behaviors. Full awareness. Distance themselves from unpleasant thoughts, feelings, and behaviors. Adults who don't learn better ways of coping, stress, or traumatic events in their lives will often result to such defense mechanisms. They're primitive, they're mature levels, but still they're all our defense mechanisms. And again, I said I wasn't going to really identify the levels. We talked about the levels on last week. For this course, it's really not important. So for most defense mechanisms, we can say that they are unconscious. So when we're looking at defense mechanisms, these are mechanisms we just operate out of from our unconscious level, and a lot of times they just fall into a pattern of behaviors that we just unconsciously just fall into. That means that unconsciously we don't realize that we're participating in them at that moment. Defense mechanisms are part of everyday life, even if you don't know Freud or the philosophy of his teaching or his training. You get to admit that there are sometimes there's something to be said from the ideas that everyone engage in some form of self-deception at least some form, time, or another. The question is, can you detect the form of deception that you, your friends, colleagues, and family members are using at that given moment? You know, the Bible says in Psalms 1, it talks about not even to take counsel with ourselves. There are so many elements of us that we don't really recognize at some point why we do what we do and why we do it. You know, behaviors can become habit-forming, and when they become habit-forming, we just do stuff and we don't even realize we're doing it. We just do it. Again, that unconscious, the unconscious pattern, the unconscious thought, that unconscious stuff that we didn't hear, that we didn't bury, that we didn't get saved, and we think that the behaviors that we were participating in before we got saved is hidden, and something happens, and we start doing stuff we don't even know why we're doing it, because it's buried, it's unconscious, which is a defense mechanism that I'm going to talk about. I'm going to talk about 9 most common defenses, and I'm going to outline them in detail. So when we look at defense mechanisms, we can we go to Freud so often, and I talked about Freud, the id, the ego, and the superego, when I talked about how one mediates between the two, and the id says, I want what I want when I want it, and then there's a parental form that says, no, you can't have it, and then that ego is saying, please, can we just get along? So when we look at defense mechanisms, we take on a method of trying to deal with stress that we can we would not otherwise be able to handle, anxiety, stresses, all that stuff. So Anna Freud, Freud's daughter, came up, read his books, looked at his stuff, and she came up with the concept of the ego and the mechanisms of defense. So defense mechanisms aren't just unconscious protective measures to prevent us from connecting with, like, instinctual desires, but it also protects us from anxiety, from the ability of confronting or not to confront or covering up the anxieties that create our weaknesses or show our weaknesses or shortcomings or even sins. So they protect us from that anxiety. So let's get on to the first one. So the first one we're going to talk about, we're going to talk about denial. Yeah, we're going to talk about that one first. So when we look at denial, denial is the refusal to accept reality or fact, acting as if a painful event, thought, or feeling did not exist. It is considered one of the most primitive of the defense mechanisms because it is characteristics of early childhood development. And again, I think the next class I'm going to open up, I'm going to talk about the stages of development and really how the stages of development, if we don't conquer a stage, then we're stuck in that stage, and certainly that prevents us from moving forward and being successful. But many people use denial in their everyday lives to avoid dealing with painful feelings or areas of their life that they don't wish to admit. For example, a person who is a functional alcoholic will often simply deny that they have a drinking problem, pointing to how well they function on their jobs. Or that person that says, well, I don't have a problem with smoking, I'm just a social smoker, or that person that has a substance abuse problem or compulsive shopping problem or gambling problem. All of them say, but just say, no, I really don't have a problem. Again, denial, defense mechanism, that they don't want to really deal with the issues that's presented. The second one is repression. That's a good one, repression. Repression is, it's kind of like a step above denial. It's genetic classification or schemes, but progression is the unconscious blocking of unacceptable thoughts and feelings or impulses. It's just forgetting that you've done something bad. You might forget an unpleasant feeling, especially a car accident that you were in that was your fault. You might repress this information because it's just too painful to deal with. So it's like denial, but again, it's like forgetting something bad happened to you. So you repress memories. Memories that have been unconsciously blocked from access or view. But because memory is very malleable and ever changing, it is not like it's not like playing back a DVD on your life. So in essence, that unconscious, we talked about unconscious thought. The brain has the ability to put stuff way, way in our unconscious, and that's like repressing it. But even when you look at victims of trauma, victims of people that have been exposed to events of trauma, like a young lady I used to work with was kidnapped, to a certain extent you repress certain memories because you're trying to function. But there's a smell, there is a area of familiarity that a person may smell when the abuse was happening, or area that they walk into 20 years later. Unconsciously, that brain connects, and then you begin to act in a way that you may not understand what's going on because of that trauma or that abuse that occurred in your childhood that you've locked away or repressed to function in everyday life has now some kind of way surfaced. That's repression. Let's talk about another one, which is another form. It's regression. Now, regression is just basically going back to you go back to a childhood state. So it's like you have repression, you forget about it, then there's regression. And that G, you know, you replace the P for G. And it certainly makes a difference because in regression, you revert back to childlike emotions. It's like you're going back to your childhood, which you cannot deal emotionally with those unconscious fears, anxieties, or apprehensions or insecurities. So in essence, you go back to your childhood state. Now, Freud says, his psychosexual theories of development says that a child go through stages of oral and anal and phallic. And by the time they're 5 or 6 years old, by the time they're 6 years old, they know their personality is pretty much set, is laid out for them. However, Erickson says, well, stages of development, psychosocial, which goes on way into senior citizens. But we're just talking about Freud right now, which have the ego defense mechanism. So, however, every once in a while, a person reverts back to childlike state of development, particularly under conditions of stress. For example, we watch TV and we see that people get on the highway and you have all kinds of road rage. A driver gets stuck in traffic, and that is a great example of regression. They have temper tantrums, and they return to a childlike state of dependency, reacting to the situation, gets out, fight, kicks, and even reverting to kill. All regression, all childlike behavior. The problem with regression is that you may regret letting your childlike behaviors show up in self-destructive ways. Again, road rage, a person gets so angry where you revert back to a childlike stage where you don't have no conflict resolution skills and you end up killing the person, and when you come to yourself, wow, you got to pay the consequences. Also, another example is refusing or driving badly, or refusing, not only driving badly, but refusing to talk to people who made you feel bad, mad, or sad, eventually getting you in worse trouble than what you were in the beginning. That's regression. For example, I'll give you another example. For example, an adolescent who is overwhelmed with fear, anger, and growing sexual impulses might become clingy and start exhibiting earlier childhood behaviors. Even in the long run, might even result to bad weddings. So basically, stress, not being able to face unacceptable thoughts or impulses will take you back to a childhood state of sometimes running and getting very fearful and running and getting in the bed and not wanting to deal with a situation or a stressful situation, but running, getting in the bed and pulling your blanket up over your head, childlike behavior. So another one that we want to talk about is displacement. So we've talked about denial, we talked about repression, we talked about regression. Now we're going to talk about displacement. Displacement is when you transfer your original feelings that will get you in trouble. Say, for instance, you on a job. And let me finish with the definition. Displacement, you transfer your original feelings that will get you in trouble, usually anger, away from the person who is the target of your rage to a more harmless person or a more comfortable person, a person who you feel may not react. Here's a classic example. You have an unpleasant interaction with your boss or teacher, but you can't show your anger towards him or her. Instead, you come home and you, so to speak, kick the dog or the cat, or you go off on your kids, or you go off on your husband, because they are a safer target than going off on the person that you're really angry with, or something happened in church, or the pastor make you angry, but you really can't project your anger on him, so you find that good friend and just start going off on them. That's displacement. Anytime you shift your true feelings from their original anxiety provoking source to one you perceive as less likely to cause you harm, you are quite possibly using displacement. Unfortunately, displacement may protect you from being fired or failing a class, but it won't protect your hand if you decide to displace your anger from the true target to, for example, a window or a wall. Some people you see, they put a hole in a wall, and as a kid, you know, I would get so angry, and I kind of would have this displaced anger and kind of hit a wall, and that's displacement. Sometimes people actually, for therapy's sake, they may go to a ring or a boxing ring and have that big bag and put gloves on, and they use this as a form of anger management to kind of allow that anger to get out and to focus that anger, which is displacement, on another target other than the person that it was intended for. But in essence, it's good that you deal with your fingers of anger, and sometimes people are not able to deal with those feelings. The Bible says, be angry but sin not. So certainly we get angry when we feel rejected, when we feel like somebody has done us wrong. But we have to remember that God is a God of justice, and God will take our anger and he will show us how to deal with those feelings of anger. And it's okay to be angry, but not to sin. So that's displacement. Our fifth, have good time. Our fifth mechanism is projection. The first four defense mechanisms were relatively easy to understand, but this projection may be a little bit different, a little bit difficult. Projection is more challenging because you have to start with the assumption that to recognize a particular quality in yourself would be to cause you some type of abnormal pain. Let's take a kind of silly example. For instance, you feel that an outfit you spend too much money on looks bad on you, but you wear it anyway. Wearing this outfit, you walk into a room or church where your friends stare at you, perhaps for a moment too long, in your opinion. Now, this is just in your thoughts. This is just what you believe or what you perceive in your opinion. They say nothing and do nothing that in reality you would think would be critical or speak to you in a way that is critical. However, your insecurities about that outfit And of course, you're already distressed. Maybe it's too short and you know it's too short and you wore to church in a way, or you know you've paid too much money for it and you feeling somewhat guilty about paying all that money for this outfit, leads you to project your feelings onto your friends who you feel are looking at you and being critical of you. In your mind, you blurt out, "Why are you looking at me like that? Don't you like this outfit?" See how silly that was? In a less sillier case, you might project your more general feelings of guilt or insecurity onto your friends. Or worse, people who don't know you love or love you with all your projected flaws. So people who don't know you or love you with all your projected flaws, you kind of project. Let's say you worry that you are not really that smart. And the enemy, I feel like the enemy has a way of using this against us. Let's say that you worry that you are not really very smart. You might make a dumb mistake that no one says anything about it all. And no one has said anything, but you accuse others of saying that you're dumb, inferior, or just plain stupid. And I can see us, and we're human beings, so we're going to make mistakes. And the enemy uses that really to come in to say, "Oh, you stupid, you don't know this, or you don't know that," and yet causes us to be critical of ourselves when we have to understand that we were made in God's image and God knows all of our faults. He knows us, and he says, "My grace is sufficient even in our weakest state." Even if we don't know everything, it's not for us to know. And there he buffets us. You know, there's a thorn in our flesh because God wants to get the glory. So this is that individual that's saying in their mind or looking at others and believing that others are seeing them as stupid and dumb and inferior. And then you are projecting your insecurities on others. And so kind of just not associating with them or just kind of alienating yourself from them because you feel like they feel that you are not up to par. So when we're looking at projection, it's like feelings or impulses onto another person who does not have those thoughts or feelings or impulses. And see, like I said, you know, we look at a group of people or we are teaching or God has us in leadership positions and he has us in places where he can get the glory, and yet we make one simple mistake and then we want to quit or we want to annihilate ourselves or we want to say, "I'm not going to do this anymore. How can I stand up before the people? People think I'm dumb or stupid." But God gets the glory. He gets the glory in all things. And what God does, he takes the little bit that we place in him and he puts his glory on it, and he gives it to the people that needs to hear what we got to say. So projection is used especially when the thoughts are considered unacceptable for the person to express, or they feel completely ill at ease with having them. For example, a spouse may, and this is another example, I've already gave you one. For example, a spouse may be angry at their significant other for not listening, when in fact it is the angry spouse who does not listen. Projection is often the result of lack of insight and acknowledgement of one's own motivations and feelings. That's a lot, and that's projection. So let's move on to reaction formation. Reaction formation. Now we're getting into an advanced defense mechanisms territory. Most people have difficulty understanding reaction formation, but it is really quite straightforward. Let us say that you are secretly harboring lustful feelings towards someone you should probably stay away from. You don't want to admit those feelings, so you instead express the very opposite of those feelings. So instead of that person being an object of your lust, now he becomes an object, or she becomes an object of your hatred. So it is the converting of unwanted or dangerous thoughts, feelings, and impulses into the opposite. For instance, a woman who is very angry with her boss and would like to quit her job may instead be overly kind and gracious toward her boss and express a desire to keep working there forever. So it doesn't have to be lustful. It's just the opposite of those opposite thoughts or feelings. Reaction formation. So now let's go to intellectualization. Intellectualization. You might also normalize your feelings of anxiety, anger, or insecurities in ways that is less likely to lead to embarrassing moments that then some of the above defense mechanisms. So now, you know, we've been dealing with thoughts, we've been dealing with feelings, we've been dealing with impulses. Now we've been dealing with the cognitive side of defense mechanisms. We're dealing with the intellectual side of your thoughts and your thinking. You think away any emotion or reaction that you don't want to feel. So, or you don't enjoy feeling. For instance, you rather confront the intense distress and rejection you feel after your roommate suddenly decides to move out. You conduct a detailed financial analysis of how much you can afford to spend now that you're on your own. Again, you're not putting the pain and the hurt with the fact that all of a sudden your roommate moves out and you don't know why she moved out. Is it me? You're not putting any emotional attachment to that. So it is an overemphasis on thinking when you're confronted with an unacceptable impulse, situation, or behavior without employing any emotions whatsoever to help mediate the thoughts into emotional or human content. You ain't putting no human emotions on it. It's just a thought. You just blocking their feelings. You're not dealing with it. You're dealing with the technical or the thought processes of the situation or the impulse or the thoughts or the emotions or the behaviors. Now, we're going to number 8, which is rationalization. These are all really good defense mechanisms, and I only got 2 more. We're making good time. So if you begin to see, even in just kind of our everyday life, how if we get too stressful, sometimes we would want to avoid dealing with those emotions. We might want to just not deal with it and cover up and go get into the bed and just not deal with the situation at all. And, you know, that's regression. So there's all kind of ways in which we begin to deal with our feelings, our emotions, and our pain. But scripture is key in dealing with any of this. You know, the word says in Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and concerning the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. So we look at all these defense mechanisms, and if you look at the commonality, the impulse, the emotions, the feelings, the thoughts, behaviors, is a consistent flow in each and every one. And then we've been talking about development and talking about the unconscious and the id and this flesh. The Bible says this flesh is not saved. It will never be saved. And certainly if we don't put it under subjection, then we are certainly flawed. You know, I think about David and the fact that David had a defense mechanism. His was denial. David denied the sin committed with Bathsheba. You know, David, not in war. He on the rooftop looking where he didn't need to look. He ended up having a man murdered to get his wife, who he slept with, and end up having a child by to just kind of please his own desires. And he was in denial, which the prophet had to come and tell him about himself. So, rationalization. When you rationalize something, you try to explain it away. You know, the defense mechanism, this defense mechanism is, you know, it is all in its name. Rationalization. Rationalization is somewhat like intellectualization. Again, but you're dealing with a piece of bad behavior on your part that you're trying to convert into a more normal setting of thought. For example, a person may rationalize their insecurities or a remorse after doing something and have an oops moment. And I think about those abusers, those people that, those perpetrators that are in domestic violence, and those perpetrators, a lot of times they try to rationalize their behavior. They say, oh, you made me do it. Well, this is rationalization. You're trying to make your behavior that you committed seem normal, and you're blaming somebody else for your own behavior. It's easier to blame someone else to take the heat yourself, particularly if you would otherwise feel shame or embarrassed. So a person loses their temper in front of a group of people that you like and respect. Now you say there was a situation out of your control and you blame somebody else for provoking you into this particular problem or event or behavior. It's not a problem, it's a behavior. So that's basically that defense mechanism. Now, this is the last one, and again, there are a lot of defense mechanisms that we could talk about. Acting out, assertiveness, disassociation. These are all forms of defense mechanisms. And we talked about personality disorders. And when you look at disassociation, a lot of these, or that particular one, you can find in those that have a personality disorder. And disassociation is when a person loses track of time or people and instead finds another representation of their self in order to continue in that moment. A person who dissociates often loses track of time themselves and their usually thought process and memories. People who have a history of any kind of childhood abuse often suffers from some form of disassociation. In extreme cases, disassociation can lead to a person believing they have a multiple selves. There was a movie called Sybil, and she had many types of persons living inside of her, which is called disassociation. And that's not one that I was going to talk about. That one's actually an extra one. So when you look at a person like that, then they have been so badly abused until they have to find a way to really deal, to really continue to live. And that's one of the ways that people with disassociation, they really disconnect to reality and the world as we see it. But the last one that I'm going to talk about is sublimation. And we use this response, and people use their emotions to get fired up cognitively, to produce cognitively oriented responses like intellectualizations tends to occur over a short period of time. So when you look at intellectualization, and I talked about that, then you get sublimation, and this is over a longer period of time. So it develops over a longer period of time, perhaps throughout the course of a person's life. A classic example, and I'm going to get back to that, but sublimation is simply the channeling of unacceptable impulses, thoughts, and emotions into more acceptable ones. For example, when a person when a person has a sexual impulse they will like not to act upon, they may instead exercise. So maybe a man or a woman who feel like they've got these sexual impulses, they're single, they want to go out and have a fling, or they want to, they have sexual impulses, and we're made, and we're human. If we're not married, you know, you want to get with somebody. We certainly we want to we want to interact with each other in an intimate way. But to in order to deny those impulses, a person may take this defense mechanism and say, I'm not going to act on these impulses, but what I'm going to do, I'm going to work out instead of acting on my impulses. And that could be a good thing, especially when you're single and you know the Bible says that we wait until the Lord gives us a husband, so we're working out. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So in that instance, it's very good to just avoid and not act upon those impulses. So refocusing such an unacceptable or harmful impulse into a productive use helps a person channel energy that otherwise will be lost or used in a manner that might cause a person more anxiety. So sublimation can also be done with humor or fantasy. Humor, when used as a defense mechanism, is a channeling of unacceptable impulses or thoughts. Into a light-hearted story or joke. Humor reduces the intensity of a situation and places a cushion of laughter between the person and the impulse. Fantasy, when used as a defense mechanism, is channeling of unacceptable or unattainable desires into imagination. For example, imagining one's ultimate career goal can be helpful when one experiences temporary setbacks in academic achievement. Both can help a person look at a situation in different ways or focus on aspects of situations not previously explored. So in essence, this one is kind of a good one because it gives an outlet for a person not to act on negative impulses, but to begin to develop and develop more positive areas and construct more appropriate outlets for their anxiety and channel that anxieties or that energy into a creative or better way of dealing with life and situations. So setting goals or looking at the achievements when it seems that other achievements or their setbacks that you are trying to overcome. So this one is a good one. This one is almost a good way of having a healthy outlet with emotions that conflict internally. You know, one other example of sublimation is the fact they say, well, people go into social services because of some event in their childhood that they're trying to do to pass it forward or to pay it forward or something that has happened that makes them want to give back. So that's one way of looking at that defense mechanism. And that's considered in the category of mature defense mechanisms. And again, we're not putting any levels on any of them. I'm just giving you the information so that you can have it. So when we're looking at everything that we've looked at in this 6 weeks, we're looking at traits, disorders and defense mechanisms. And if you begin to understand, you can begin to understand that we, the way we made up our mind, our will, and emotions, how we interact with others, how we interact with God, all of this plays a part in who we are and how we are set up for God's service. God, we're unique in God's image, and everything that we've gone through, every situation in our lives is for our good. There's a song out now about the Judah Band, I do believe, For My Good, and certainly it's based on Romans 8:28, that all things work together for the good of them that are called according to his purpose. And certainly we are called according to his purpose, and he knows us. He knows how we were designed. So all of these things help us to understand why we do what we do. And when we come into Christ Jesus, we certainly have to allow the Lord to wash us and begin to really begin to deal with how our traits, how our personalities, how our characteristics from our parents and our generation and before, how all of those things create us into the nation that we are now. And certainly I think about the time, and I was on my other blog that I have on Saturday mornings, and I was talking about the old time way and how we came up praying and the altar and being on the Terry service and the Holy Ghost filling us and sitting at the seat and sitting at the feet of Jesus and crying out before him so that miracles can occur or happen. We've got so much stuff going on in society, so much stuff going on with our millennials, so much of the enemy attacking us, and we are so, we can be complicated, so complicated. The way we are made up, our brain functioning, the fact that stuff can be pushed all the way deep where we don't consciously, or we are not consciously aware of it, but it's down in our unconscious. And the very fact that we go to a certain area and it triggers the unconscious to trigger the behavior, and we start behaving in a way that we don't understand. But the Father is just, and the Spirit of God is there to search us, to take out everything that's not like us. We've got to be equipped to deal emotional, the emotional impulses and deterioration of our society as we are living it. We are so caught up into technology, and the kids are on their phones. Now it's a disorder, because when you pull them away from those phones and those computers, they start acting out because that's all they know. So when we look at behavior, when we look at defense mechanisms, when we look at how we react to stress, we have to develop adequate coping skills in order to be able to deal with our stressful situations. And you know, there's a song that's called Praise Party, and certainly we've got to begin to put a praise on it and see the devil and understand the devil when he comes into our homes, because now he is continually to be deceptive, and we have to guard ourselves accordingly. So I'm going to open up the line for questions. Any questions that you may have? Once again, I want to thank each and every one of you for participating in this class. I will get your exams, only 5 questions, and your evaluation forms to you. And those of you that have not gotten your paperwork to me, please do so.
Unmuted.
Good evening. Good evening. Good evening, my faithful students. How are you?
Good evening. Yes.
I don't really have a question. This is Terry. Could you spell that sublimation for me?
That's fine. S U B L I M A T I O N.
I had O M. Okay. I had a number. Could you spell number 7, the intellectual? I couldn't even pronounce it.
I know it. It takes a little bit to pronounce it. Reaction formation.
Intellectual.
Let me make sure. I kind of got my notes all stumbled up here. I have ability to do that. Okay, there they go. Number 7?
Yes.
Number 3? Number 6, that's reaction. Number 7, intellectualization. I-N-T-E-L-L-E-C-T-U-A-L-I-Z-A-T-I-O-N. They are mouthful.
Yes.
That's just some of them.
Right, intellectual. Okay. Well, I can say I have enjoyed the class, even though this is like my third I've registered. I didn't really complete them, but I enjoy.
Well, you've completed this class.
Yes, and as I was working on my paper today, I said now some of this I hadn't even realized, even though I had seen it before. But I do say, and when I talk about you to others, I do say I thank God for the class and for you presenting personality traits and, looking at the characteristics and things. Because, like you said, sometimes we be doing stuff, and me and my sister tell us, girl, that's why we be doing that, because look at us mother. Look how mama be doing stuff. We get that from her.
Exactly.
You know, sometimes we don't want to, say that we get stuff from our parents because maybe we ashamed of our parents or whatever the reasons for, but you get it from somewhere. It's coming from somewhere, But
you do.
I just think that I had the opportunity to look at that and to realize that, And then, like I said, as I was just reading through some material, and I was reading a piece and, you say somebody was like, asked the question to the extent, okay, well, God know these things, why he allowed these things to happen. But he allowed things like this to happen so that we know that he wanted control of everything,
Exactly.
He want us to be connected to him, and not just on
exactly.
our own cognizance. So we, he know what to do to bring us back to him. So,
and it's always
like
for a witness.
Yes. Yes, and so that the people
it's
know that he is who he said he is. Right.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
It's always for a witness. You don't know who you're going to touch. And a lot of times, again, I talked about being inferior and the enemy, and the enemy will use that to come against you and say, oh, you dumb, or you think you dumb. But when we look at the fact that God has made us, and he's made us with a thorn in our side because he wants to get the glory, but to the extent he's got somebody out there that he wants you to touch, and you don't know who you're touching and how he uses that word or what you bring, how he convicts them and how he changes their lives. Even my classes, if the Lord just allow me to touch one person and somebody says, wow, God has helped me, then that's God. That's on God.
Yeah.
I'm just doing what he told me to do. And sometimes I may feel like I'm inferior, or I'm like, okay, Lord, these are some big words now. I didn't say them a whole lot of times, but now I need to say them over and over. And I'm glad I got my phone but it's a process that he gets the glory. And
right.
he's giving me what to say and how to say it, because I've been in this stuff so long until he knows how to get the glory, and the Holy Ghost will bring up what needs to be brought up.
Right,
so.
Right.
Yep. But I'm glad you were on. I'm glad you enjoyed the class. I'm glad that certainly there was information that was helpful to you.
Yes, it was. I don't have any questions myself.
Okay.
But thank you for the class.
But I thank
class
you.
As well. Yes.
I'm sorry, I didn't
I
hear
have,
you.
I said thank you for the class, and I have enjoyed the class as well.
I thank you for being here. Thank you for being part of it. And again, I thank you. Thank you, ladies, for participating in this first ever Blog Talk Radio class. I know it has been convenient for me to sit in my home to bring the class, and certainly I'm glad that you stayed the course and participated in the class. And, of course, you will get your certificates, probably be the first of the year, being this Christmas season, and we're going into Christmas less than 11, what was this?
Is
on the verge and is almost here, and then we go into a new year. But I am going to get that information out to you Friday. I'm going to try to make it as simple as possible. And again, there is going to be a question on it that I said earlier was having you to identify your self-deceptions. What defense mechanisms do you recognize or do you use or do you see yourself using in this process?
Okay.
So it's really going to be simple. It's not going to be that hard. And then I'm going to send you a evaluation form just to tell me what you thought, what can be improved, and where we go from here.
Okay.
For those of you, the papers that I've read have been very good. The tests that I've looked through doing have been very good. So I appreciate you getting that information back to me. And again, I know you have a lot going on, so that's why I'm pretty much trying to make it as simple as possible.
Thank you for that. Yeah.
I'm trying, ladies.
Yes, yes. I say every time I get in one of these classes, and it's like something comes up, you know, but it's okay. Because I'm going to get in another.
But you're getting in the number. It just takes one step at a time. And you're moving forward. You understanding the information that has been taught has been better for you to understand why you do what you do. And that unconscious, ladies, is something else. You know, we patterns or behavior can be habit forming. You know, if you're really stressful and if you ever thought about it, you find yourself home and you don't even know how you get home. Well, because that unconsciousness, that unconscious behavior is sitting back there. It's working even though we don't know the consciousness of it. It's back there. You know, we do things out of habit, and the unconscious has a way of working on our behaviors or why we do what we do, and we don't realize that we're doing it. But the Lord knows, and he understands, and he loves us in spite of our human frailties. And that's something.
Yes.
Sunday school lesson talks about 101 Psalms 103, and that's, man, that's something. That's something when we look at the fact that God loves us enough, first of all, to send his son, then also
right.
to really help us understand what we need to do. And we, ladies, we're going to have to be able to stand strong, to hold on to our youth, to hold on to the people that don't know God and got a form of godliness but don't know the creator that we know. And they doing stuff and they don't know the power of God and the power of God. You know, back in the old days, Terry services, Friday night Terry service. We get on the altar and call Jesus and
yes.
stay all night on Friday night service. You know, people are saying, well, the saints of old knew how to speak and declare miracles. They said, well, you can't do this, you can't do that, you can't do that. You can't go to the show, you can't go to the movies,
right.
you're in church all night. But the miracles were there. Now this generation,
yeah.
is you're doing everything and you're open to go to the show, you're open to go bowling, but you ain't got no power.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly there's so much in us until we need the Holy Spirit to arrest us and to take out everything that's not like God. And we run to drugs, we run to this medical marijuana, we run to everything but the Creator who created us, and we messed up. We don't know why we're behaving. We get traits and personalities, and we're trying to hang out with everybody else, and we've got a set of growing millennials who have a different way of dealing with the world. So we as a people have to be able to understand and explain to them with God's authority why you doing what you doing.
Mm-hmm.
So with that being said, there's no more questions. We're going to go into prayer. And I am going to let you ladies go. And again, I thank you. I appreciate you. It's been a pleasure working with you and being your teacher and having you give me questions. Would you like the material on defense mechanism? Yeah, you got to take the test, don't you? So I got to send it to you.
Right. Okay.
Are you reading the material that I sent you?
Yes.
All right. Father God, I thank you for this opportunity to come before your presence. We exalt you. We magnify you. I thank you, God, for my students. I thank you for their perseverance. I thank you, God, for them or leading them to this class. I pray even now, God, that you give them understanding in how personality traits, disorders, and defense mechanisms are operating in this present world and how you are able to deal and heal and deliver this society. Father God, your word is quick and is powerful. And God, you are able to heal us inside out. I pray, God, that you give us the understanding and the wisdom on how to deal with your people and this world. I pray now for my students, God. I pray that you give them understanding to finish all assignments, God. I pray, God, that you touch their world and their families, God. Heal, deliver them, Father God. Even promote them on their jobs, Father God. In the name of Jesus, God, give them favor, God. You said, God, favor will follow us. In the name of Jesus, I speak those things as not as though they are. I declare your salvation. I declare financial blessings in the name of Jesus. I pray even now, God, as they care for their mothers, God, and their loved ones, as their caregivers, God. I pray, God, that you strengthen them, God. Strengthen them mightily in the name of Jesus. God, touch their bodies. Heal, deliver, set free, God. God, strengthen them with the understanding that they know not of, God. Strengthen them right now, God. Increase their health in the name of Jesus. Father God, pour out a blessing, God. Save their unsaved loved ones, Father God. Give them the formula in the name of Jesus to be successful. We bind the enemy that's coming against their homes in the name of Jesus. Satan, you have no authority. I speak healing in the name of Jesus. Angels encamp round about them in the name of Jesus. God should know their needs, and I speak to everyone right now in the name of Jesus. God, you declared it in the name of Jesus. God, we're crying out for the loved ones, God. We're crying out for salvation. We're crying out for healing in the name of Jesus. Father God, bless them 100%. In Jesus' name we pray. And Father God, touch them and keep them until we come again. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Thank you.
Amen. Okay.
Amen.
All right.
Yes. All right. Thank you. Have a blessing.
Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. And God bless.
Merry Christmas. God bless. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year to you too. God bless you.
Thank you.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
David, be wrong. Right, God, your love. Those who Put the top on there, mother. Mom.
What?
Put the top on there.
Top on it.